Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 14, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be discussing last night's WWE Raw and tell you why I actually hope and think there's a chance we get a dusty finish coming out of Monday's Raw. WWE Raw was in Las Vegas, Nevada at the new T-Mobile Arena on Monday, and the show concluded with Bayley defeating Charlotte to capture the Raw Women's Championship. I told you at the top of the show that I'm actually hopeful we'll get a dusty finish. I know I'm going to be in the minority. Anytime I say anything negative about Bayley, it seems like I hear from a bunch of people who are content no matter what WWE is doing with her. In this case, hey, you know, she won the championship. It's a good thing, and there's going to be a lot of people happy about that, and it certainly closed the show on a high note. I just have some issues with it. I mentioned some of them in my review. One I didn't mention is, how many times is Charlotte going to win and lose the championship? I mean, you know, you had Big E taking the cheap shot joke about just that a while back, and here we are again. She's lost the title again. It's the hot potato with the championship is getting annoying. Also, you know, I guess the big one for me really is that Bayley, the character. We've talked about it many times, and well, not just me. I mean, other staff members that you've heard here on the All Access side of things, we've talked about it, and I think most, if not all, kind of seem to agree that Bayley is one character that the chase is worth it. You know, you kind of build people's expectations, and you pull the rug out from under them enough times, and then finally you get that payoff, as we saw in NXT. And not everything has to be like it was in NXT, but I just feel like this is too soon for the Bayley character. Yes, it was a fun moment, and people are going to be excited coming out of tonight's show. Is it the right move long term? And I don't know. I'm not crazy about having yet another title change hands so close to WrestleMania. Are we going to have any long reigning champions heading into the biggest show of the year? I'm really beginning to wonder. It's just they keep changing all of these championships. We're going to go into WrestleMania with a bunch of champions who won their titles in early 2017. I'm not crazy about that at all. But again, the bigger issue is Bayley and this feeling premature. I feel deprived of a chase. I feel like even if this was like, no, they want to do it at this point, I never felt like they built it up to a point. On tonight's show, it felt like it was, I knew it was the main event. They didn't do a great job of like consistently promoting it and making it feel like a huge deal. And I just kind of feel like that's been the case with Bayley's title chase. Yeah, you know, she had the non-title win over Charlotte, and there have been moments. She had a good match with her at the Rumble, but I never felt like this reached a point where it was time for a title change. I'm tired of this WWE game of, well, Charlotte retains, she wins the title, she's unbeaten on pay-per-view, but she loses on TV. What? What a weird approach to take with this. Now, I mentioned the dusty finish. Here's the thing. Bayley won because Sasha Banks came out and interfered with her crutch. First, it was Dana Brooke getting involved and Bayley having to fight her off, and then Charlotte taking advantage of that, putting her in the figure eight. Out comes Sasha with her on her, you know, just carrying her crutch, still selling the knee injury, and she hits Dana with it, and then she hits. She ended up hitting Charlotte with it to break the figure eight hold. Michael Cole did make a point, I believe it was him, one of the broadcast team members, said that it seemed like Bayley was unaware of this interference. Now, we've seen Sasha be kind of snippy toward Bayley in the past. It was just kind of, I think, unintentional. I don't think they made to make her character seem come off like she did, but I certainly felt like the last time we saw them kind of have that backstage segment where it was the night after the Rumble, in fact, and Sasha was short with her. I think they're turning Sasha. And we've already had Stephanie McMahon overturn one Bayley win over Charlotte. Now, it wasn't a title win, but she did overturn I think it was a non-title win that Bayley had. If you recall, it was a bad storyline, but the idea was that Charlotte had contacted her lawyers and they'd been on the phone with Stephanie, and Stephanie agreed to throw the match out or whatever the official ruling was. And so, you know, there would be some consistency here. But the other thing is, this is a great way to make Bayley look like the ultimate babyface ever. You know, if she finds out, you know, Stephanie can call her on it, and Bayley can very sadly confess that, yeah, you know, she didn't know Sasha did what she did. and she doesn't want to win the championship that way. She gives the title back, and you know, there's a way to put the heat on Charlotte and the heat on Stephanie, and even Sasha. Now, the other way of doing this is that Sasha starts to part of Sasha's heel turn on Bayley eventually is that, well, you wouldn't have even won that championship if it wasn't for my help. So keep that in mind too. So I think a couple of interesting scenarios there. I certainly don't think Bayley's ruined by winning the championship, but I'm trying to cover my bases here because I do hear from so many people that get frustrated. They think WWE is doing great with Bayley. They remember from NXT and they love her on the main roster and all of that. And I've said from the start they've just kind of botched this one. I felt like they got it right going into the Rumble. I felt like they did a really nice job of finally kind of telling you what the Bayley character is all about by showing those video packages and things. And so it was like 2 weeks of positive build for Bayley, but that's some of the only segments that I can look back on and say, hey, they did a really nice job. If you didn't know Bayley before she arrived on the main roster, you know, I don't know how many people were all that into this character other than by reputation, or you know, maybe some kids out there who just see the look and the playfulness of the character. But I just, you know, I really want to see them get it right with this character, and I think that's actually a way to do it. So as much as I hate the dreaded dusty finish, it wouldn't shock me if we saw it. It also wouldn't shock me if it just, nope, decision stands and they move forward. But just something to think about going into next week's show. Because, you know, again, Stephanie has done this before, where she's overturned a Bayley win over Charlotte. There is outside interference here, and I just think it would be so perfect for the Bayley character to say, no, you know, I'm not going to, you're right, I'm not taking the championship this way, and to turn over the championship, it goes back to Charlotte. Be something. I don't know if they'll do it, but it would be something. The other big things on the show tonight, obviously, the Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho segment, and it starts out, it's like it was split by a commercial break. First half, just all cheese. Jericho just in over-the-top, like Vegas showman or even game show host mode, having so much fun with this, and I was just cracking up watching this. And then in the second half, very serious Chris Jericho, as he, you know, kind of, as Owens was like, what the hell is this? What are you doing? And Jericho kind of, took a serious tone and started telling, hey, man, you know, maybe I went overboard, but we've been friends. And of course, this all lead, he just wanted to show him, basically, that he appreciates his friendship. And I thought it was a nice, just kind of a sudden, just shift in approach from Jericho, and it was effective. And Owens beating the holy hell out of Jericho. The split finally happened. It was a nudge from Triple H. They didn't really. The broadcast team always has to be the dumbest people on earth. You know, they're dumber than the viewers who go, yeah, well, Triple H was talking to Kevin Owens. I'll bet that's what it's about. The broadcast team members don't get to do that, unless I missed it. I don't think I did, though. I don't think they ever even acknowledged that possibility. I would say the other big moment of the show would have to be Samoa Joe. Well, whether you like the sit-down interview, what he did with Sami Zayn, I thought it was a really good night for Samoa Joe. But we'll certainly be talking about all of those things as we work our way through this show. Michael Cole, Corey Graves, Byron Saxton on commentary, and they were just hyping kind of the bigger events. In fact, the three big things for the show. In fact, before we go farther, I do want to tell you, if you missed it yesterday, ProWrestling.net Live was back. So be sure to check that out. Will Pruitt and I took phone calls, answered some email questions submitted by .NET members. So you can check that out. We are back on ProWrestling.net Live on Mondays, coming out of WWE pay-per-view. So if there's a pay-per-view on Sunday night, major pay-per-view, Raw, SmackDown, or WrestleMania, obviously, we'll be there on Monday, and that's going to be the approach going forward. We'll end up doing more for WrestleMania, of course, too, and so, you know, maybe the Big Four or something like that, but certainly every Monday coming out of a WWE pay-per-view is the plan, thanks to everybody who called the show, and 3 Central, 4 Eastern will be the time. I'll be giving you plenty of reminders between now and March 6th, but be sure to check that out if you haven't done so already. As for Raw, we ended up with Stephanie McMahon being introduced. She made it clear that Mick Foley wasn't there, and she said that she gave him the week off because clearly he was overworked and embarrassed based on what he did during the Samoa Joe contract signing, and she said that she just assumed that he would have his priorities in order whenever he returns. So it looks like I didn't take it as Foley being written out. I mean, you know, there's certainly the buzz that he's getting hip surgery, but I don't know if that's coming up anytime soon as far as, like, this would be the blow-off. I didn't take it that way. It just kind of seemed like a one-week-off type of thing. Well, Roman Reigns came out. You go from Stephanie, who gets kind of a flat reaction when she comes out, until she gets in the ring and uses the, just the, welcoming viewers to Raw approach, and that kind of gets a reaction. And Roman gets mostly boos. The story here was that he didn't want to wait until Fastlane. He wanted Braun Strowman after what happened last week with Strowman interfering in his match with Samoa Joe, and Reigns ended up, or Stephanie ended up telling him. Well, she teased the crowd, and they fall for it. There was one guy who was just kind of sitting there making the face, like, "Yeah, we know where this is going," but most of the fans fell for it. Way to go, guy! If you go back and watch yourself on TV, if you're listening, you're sitting there with that knowing look, like, "I'm not falling for this one." Nicely done. She ended up talking about how fans don't care about Roman's well-being, and he said he doesn't care what anyone thinks of him, especially her. Remember that line, maybe? I mean, it wasn't too, he, I mean, when you think of it, you wouldn't think too many baby faces would say that, but a baby face with an edge might, and fans may still cheer him. But I mean, I guess kind of keep that one in mind. We'll see if they start going more and more in that direction with Roman, but so far, despite him telling Taker that it's his yard, and despite positioning him to be the guy who got booed against Randy Orton, it's kind of been business as usual for Roman. We'll see what happens once we get through Fastlane, and if they start working toward Roman Reigns and Undertaker, if we start to see signs of a Roman turn then. Maybe, just maybe. Stephanie wasn't going to give Roman the match. She said that Strowman was already booked to face Mark Henry. And Reigns said it sounded like a hell of a fight. He might just have to come out to ringside to watch it. Well, Stephanie kind of figured out where that was going, and she threatened to take away his Fastlane match and even his role at WrestleMania. And he started to say, "Maybe I'm not making myself clear enough," but he was interrupted. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson came out. They acted offended by the way Roman was talking to Stephanie. This led to the two of them being booked in a handicap match against Roman for after the break. Stephanie actually said that in honor of Teddy Long, "I think we have a match, playa." And I'm like, "What, you're booking a tag match? Because that was Teddy's thing, wasn't it?" We went to the first match, and it was. No, if you didn't see the show, you're probably panicking like I was, hoping that they can't really do it. No, they did not have Roman win clean. He beat Gallows and Anderson by DQ in 3 minutes and 5 seconds. They joined the match in progress, so not exact time on that, but Reigns did basically beat them up by himself, so he would get the better of one of them, and then the other, the numbers advantage would get to him a little bit. They ended up it kind of broke down where they just were ignoring the referee and attacking him until they were disqualified. They set him up for a magic killer. He fought out of it, ended up working over both of them and clearing them from the ring. And so Roman stands tall against your tag team champions of the world. I don't know what purpose this served. I mean, I'm giving them the out in my review in that, well, Hunter's back. Are they doing some sort of an alliance with Anderson, Gallows, Joe? I mean, and now Owens, I guess. And I doubt it, but I wanted to at least throw it out there. I mean, Owens and Hunter are clearly in cahoots at some level, but Gallows and Anderson just coming out to either kiss ass or save Stephanie, however you want to look at it. Not that Reigns was a threat to her physically, but I mean, just throwing it out there is a long shot possibility, trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, because otherwise, I have no idea why this happened. I don't know why Roman Reigns needed to face the tag team champions in a handicap match and basically end up, roughing both of them up. We ended up with, we went to a commercial break, and when they came back, we got some hype for the WWE and HBO documentary about Andre the Giant. Then New Day came out. Bo Dallas was already in the ring. Yes, he's still carrying that stupid political sign. Nothing dated like carrying a political sign in February, but that's what he's doing. New Day teasing, they had their blueprint for ice cream. It was a singles match with Kofi. He beat Bo Dallas in 2:15. However, during the match, he ripped up the blueprint for ice cream. So if you're really hoping to get ice cream, I don't know what this means. I don't know how difficult it would be to make ice cream, but did they promise something they didn't intend to deliver on, and now this was their weird way out of it? I wouldn't be surprised if we're hearing about ice cream again next week, somehow, some way. But yeah, Kofi wins. Not much to this. He ended up hitting the SOS for the win. And then after the match, Big E poured Bootios in the mouth of Bo Dallas. I did get a kick out of Corey Graves saying that everyone knows you don't feed breakfast cereal to an unconscious man. Backstage, we had Charlie Caruso interview Neville about Jack Gallagher becoming number one contender. He just said his opponent on 205 Live, TJ Perkins, is more of a threat to him than Gallagher is. Gallagher showed up. Neville said he's just a boy who's out of his depth And he said that Gallagher ended up saying that they'll find out about that at Fastlane, and then called him a bloody pillock. A bloody pillock. Then we had we went to Jack Gallagher's match, and it was him beating Noam Dar, who did have Alicia Fox with him. The match lasted all of 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Dar got some offense, but in the end it was Gallagher hitting a couple of drop kicks, and then his big headbutt that he performs, and then the big running drop kick in the corner, and then he covered Dar and got the win that way. Neville came out afterward and just stood on the stage and held up his title belt. So, I mean, you found out that we're getting what should be a pretty good match, fun match with TJ Perkins and Neville tomorrow. Doesn't feel as important in any way, like last week's five-way elimination did, but it's not like you can have a match like that every week, so it should be a good one. I should be around for live coverage tomorrow night, so join me for that after SmackDown. Jake Burnett will have you guys covered for SmackDown itself, so 3 hours of live coverage tomorrow night. So if you don't have a date for Valentine's Day, we'll be here. We ended up with a limo arriving backstage, and Triple H and Samoa Joe ended up emerging in suits, and they ended up walking into the building together, and then we had an Emelina teaser, and it hyped her as premiering after the break. Coming out of a commercial, Cole said that, talked about how Saxton went to the Donnie and Marie show or something. Basically, you know, he was back from that because they had Austin Aries sitting on commentary. That's what it was, for the Cruiserweight match. Then Emelina made her entrance. She's kind of wearing like a flashy dress, and she's kind of talking in an over-the-top, it didn't seem like just a typical Australian voice that she was going for. It seemed like over-the-top, wealthy type of, debutante type of thing, just, like you might see in a movie or something. And she talked about how you've waited 17 weeks for the makeover of Emma to Emelina. And then she said, well, here I am. And then she says, and now you will see the makeover of Emelina to Emma. And she stormed off. Is that it? Was that Emelina's one and only appearance? Do they not have any idea what to do with this character? Now they're just going back to Emma? Is she going to be playing Emelina and Emma? I don't know. I thought we'd see her transform into Emma in the main event and cost Bayley the match. I really did. You can hear that on ProWrestling.net Live. I thought, well, that's a way to do it, to get out of that match, because I didn't think we'd see a title change. At least I kind of hope we wouldn't. No, this was all we saw of Emma. It was really weird. Charlie interviewed Bayley backstage, and Bayley said she was nervous setting into her match against Charlotte. She said Stephanie doesn't think she belongs, and Charlotte reminds her that she's the last of the four horsewomen to make it to the main roster. And she said she keeps smiling because she believes in herself. And she said she's hitting the jackpot and will achieve her dream of winning the championship. It took quite a while. I think it was during the main event. Michael Cole actually went back to this and talked about, he basically laid out who the four horsewomen are. So I don't know if they were... it was something they felt they needed to clarify, or just something that popped into his head. I'm not sure. Backstage, Chris Jericho told Kevin Owens it's going to be the greatest night in WWE history. And Owens said he couldn't wait. And Jericho mentioned surprises. Well, Triple H showed up, and he said he needed to talk with Owens. And so then Owens and Jericho started to follow Triple H, and Triple H made it clear, oh, no. He shook hands with both men, but then he just made it clear, oh, no, just Kevin. So Jericho was kind of left there while Owens went off to talk to Triple H. And then we got a little bit of hype, a SmackDown commercial announcing Bray Wyatt versus John Cena in the rematch for the WWE Championship. So that's the one that's the main event. My guess on that is we see The Miz get involved based on what happened to his lady and the fact that John Cena eliminated him from the chamber. And there's all sorts of buzz about a mixed tag match at WrestleMania. But we'll see. That's the main event of SmackDown. After the break, they showed Triple H talking with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens was basically listening and nodding at this point. Somehow Triple H found the one spot in the building, apparently, where the cameras don't have microphones. I guess he helps run the place, but it never seems to stop Stephanie from being recorded at times she doesn't want to be and things like that. So, but I did find it interesting, and I like this. I don't need to hear everything backstage. And Cole just said he wished he could be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Fourth match, it was Braun Strowman beating Mark Henry in 4:55. Henry got some moments of hope. He had him up for the world's strongest slam, but he'd taken some punishment, was the way they tried to explain this, and he kind of toppled under the weight of Strowman. Strowman ended up following that up with a big boot and a power slam, and he got the win. And then after the match, Roman Reigns' music hit. Cole was right there to point out that, well, Stephanie technically only said talked about he couldn't do he couldn't put his hands on Strowman during the match, but the match is over now. So Reigns comes out, and this was good. This was really well done. Strowman motioned for Reigns to enter the ring. Reigns ended up, well, he was knocked off the first time. Second time, he ends up clotheslining Strowman over the top rope, and then he ended up catching him with a Superman punch, didn't knock him down. Second one got him down to one knee. Then Reigns charges at Strowman, who power slammed him and yelled, "You can't win." And then he left the ring. So Strowman still looking very much like the monster heading into this. Reigns looking like he may have actually found someone who is a challenge, And I hope they keep this up. I'd hate to see. Well, next week it's Roman's week, like they do with every other feud. And let Strowman look like a badass going into this, even if they're gonna have Roman pin him. I don't. I haven't even thought about how I expect this match to play out. I really haven't. But either way, let Braun Strowman go into this looking like just a badass. Broadcast team hyped the women's title match for later in the show, and they would do that. It just didn't feel important, just to kind of go back to what I was talking about earlier. Samoa Joe was shown taking a seat for the backstage sit-down interview, and then they went to a commercial break, and they were, oh, by the way, they were showing like flashbacks of Jericho and Owens moments throughout the night. And so, little things like that, and then Triple H's speech, it was like, yeah, this could be the night. But it's Owens and Jericho, and they, Lord knows these guys are savvy. I could see them stretching this out, kind of teasing us with it again and not delivering. But they did this time. Coming out of a commercial break, Major League Baseball player Bryce Harper shown in the crowd, and then Sheamus and Cesaro were getting Bayley warmed up when Enzo Amore and Big Cash showed up, did the haters bit. Sheamus said, "Yeah, we're haters after you cost us the tag titles last week." And Cass said he always has his partner's back, kind of implying that, between Sheamus and Cesaro, they don't. Cesaro pointed out that, well, hey, we're former tag champs. Enzo challenged him to do something. Well, Enzo kind of then waited for Cass to cut in front of him, and then he started talking big. I think it was supposed to be funny. More on that later. I think there's, I don't know what's supposed to be funny with Enzo and Cass anymore. They're really losing me. Graves and Saxton spoke briefly about the tag team angle that we just seen, and then Cole, I'm sorry, they noted Cole was backstage for the interview, so they went back to that, and God, was this good. Samoa Joe, sit-down setting, didn't scream. That's been one of my issues with Joe over the years, and some people love that, he works himself into a frenzy, and he yells, and I think there's, it's not that I don't think he ever should. It's, I think, in TNA especially, he started to rely on that a little too much. I like this Joe. I like the Joe that just gives you a death stare and keeps his cool. And when the time is right, when there's something for him to really be pissed off about, that's when he can go into the yelling. He does it effectively. I've always just kind of felt like, pick your spots to do that a little more effectively so it means something. It really may, when he raises his voice, I want it to mean something. And they have a chance to do that in WWE. But this was really good. He just talked about, Cole was good here and kind of asking some of the tougher questions, even though Joe was intimidating. And Joe said Hunter doesn't need to justify anything when Cole asked him if Hunter's afraid of Rollins. And he said the only reason he wasn't in WWE all this time, because that was one of the things people complained about, was Joe talking about, it took 18 years or whatever it is to get there. And it's like, well, are you not that good? Well, he explained it away here, saying that the company was afraid to hire him. Talked about how he's a dangerous man. Seth Rollins is the crown jewel of WWE, but he couldn't even last 2 minutes in the ring with him, and now he's going to miss WrestleMania for a second year in a row. And just things like that. I don't know that there was a real peak to this. It just was really good, like calm intensity, I think is the way I described it from Joe. He, like you say, you could see like the fire burning in the eyes, and he's intense, but he kept his cool. He was speaking in a normal voice, and that's a lot scarier to me than some guy just shouting all the time, believe it or not. There's just something about a guy who can keep his cool and just give you that death stare that is more intimidating than the guy who's always worked up, where it's like, yeah, you were worked up last week when I watched the show too. Joe did include a line about Sami Zayn saying, I'm not him, you know, I'm not Sami Zayn, he's just happy to be on Raw. And it was like, oh, hey, we might get that match that I talked about. We had Michael Cole list Shawn Michaels, Batista, Randy Orton, and Seth Rollins as examples of guys who had had relationships with Hunter, and they all went sour. And yeah, I mean, I mean, Michaels did at one time, it just, but you could easily, that's the one thing where it's kind of like, I don't know if I would have included Shawn Michaels there, but so be it. Joe said the difference between him and those other men is they all needed to be propped up by Triple H. Joe said he's not those men. He doesn't need Hunter's help. And he says, I don't need to be propped up. I don't need to be as heavy. And he added that he gets the job done on his own, and now he has someone he can rely on because he knows what's best for business. And Joe said, anyone who gets in his way will learn why the Creator unleashed the Destroyer. And then he took off his mic and walked away. Really good. Man, I like this a lot. This was, I don't think I could have asked for anything better than this from WWE and Samoa Joe. This was just terrific. And you knew something was going to happen, because coming out of that, they had Sami Zayn make his entrance for a match, and they went to commercial. He ended up having that match with Rusev, and he ended up winning in 11 minutes. He caught him with the Huluva kick. Rusev just, kind of your typical Sami Zayn match, working underneath and getting roughed up, and Rusev coming close to putting him away, but Zayn ultimately caught him with that Huluva kick as Rusev was trying to get back inside the ring, and he pinned him that way. And then after the match, Charlie Caruso interviewed Zayn on the stage, and she asked about him getting momentum back and all of this. And eventually, he brought up, he said he heard Samoa Joe's comment that he's no Sami Zayn. And Sami said that's true, because he doesn't clean up, Sami doesn't clean up messes for others, do what he's told to do or sell out. And then he started to talk about WrestleMania. Well, cue Samoa Joe's music. And Zayn kind of turns around to an entrance area that he's looking at. Somehow Joe blindsided him from another spot where Zayn wasn't watching. And then Joe just... throwing punches at him on the stage as they're standing. It looked really good. Slammed his head into the video screen. And then I think he was saying, say my name. I couldn't tell, because what he said later on is, if you say my name, you put respect on it. Man, was this awesome. This was so good. He put him in the coquina clutch and released it once Zayn was acting like he was out cold. So, yeah, Samoa Joe standing tall here. Just looking the part of a hired gun, a badass. They nailed it this week with Samoa Joe. Oh, and for those who don't know what I was referring to, I did say a week or two, whenever Seth Rollins went down, it's like, well, if you're looking for something for Fastlane, I could see Sami Zayn, especially when they blew off last week, I think it was, when they kind of had, they had Zayn beat Jericho, and, you know, in a non-title match, and then they had the title match, and Jericho just beats him, and I'm like, are they freeing up Sami to go with Samoa Joe? Because it would make sense, and it seems like that's what they're doing, and Sami will take a hell of a beating and have a really good match with Samoa Joe at Fastlane. And that's one. I don't think they did a great job with Sami and Kevin Owens in WWE. Not that the matches weren't entertaining, but it just there wasn't. You could tell WWE kind of rushed through it to the point that they kind of killed it, you know. And they were telling us they were never going to wrestle again, and then they did. And you know, it was kind of a mess. And I think you could do something similar with Zayn and Joe. Now, you know, they don't have the history of friendship and all that, but you can have Joe get the better of Sami now, and you can go back to it. And Joe can continue to get the better of him, and you can kind of do what I was talking about with Bayley, where someday when the time is right, Sami gets that big win over Samoa Joe. I think that's one that if you don't run it into the ground by going to it, you know, four pay-per-views in a row or something like that, then I think it's one that you can do for a month here, a month there, come back to revisit it occasionally, and I think it can still be really good. We ended up with, we saw Charlotte getting ready for her match in the locker room, and they went to a commercial break. Then we had a Hall of Fame video for Teddy Long, who was announced on Monday as the latest entrant. And then it was time for the other cruiserweight match. It was Akira Tozawa defeating Arya Daivari in 3:15. Once again, Aries on commentary. This time, Brian Kendrick joins him. He's still playing up the bit that he's like a mentor to Akira Tozawa. Tozawa winning with his German suplex. He engages the crowd. He just kind of yells, and the crowd is into that. And then, you know, it commands her. Here's what I think happens. It commands her attention more than a lot of the guys in the cruiserweight division are. And, you know, they're into the yelling, but then they also see, like, wow, this guy's pretty damn good. This is the thing. You know, these matches were very brief in the cruiserweight division, which is what they've been doing now. This is the first time, though, where I was like, man, I kind of wish we had more of these guys. I normally don't feel that way on Raw because they're giving us somebody beating Drew Gulak. It's not, or just some random match that doesn't mean much. The guys they had on this show, Tozawa, they clearly have plans for. Daivari's been fun, even though he kind of started off as Gulak and Tony Nese types, where he's just going to put everyone over you. He still ultimately put over Jack Gallagher, but I thought they had a fun program. But then you go back to the first match with Noam Dar and Jack Gallagher, and it's like, hey, this was kind of the best of, in some ways, the at least three out of the four that the cruiserweight division has to offer right now. And so, yeah, I was left wanting more, and I don't think that's a bad thing. They aired another Owens and Jericho flashback, and then we had an NXT TV ad hyping Tyler Bate against Trent Seven for the UK Championship. So that'll be the, I think they said it was the first time that Bate would defend that championship, and that'll be on Wednesday's NXT show. You can join Zach Zimmerman for live coverage of that show. And then Chris Jericho set up the big Festival of Friendship. He did with a kind of a backstage announcement. And then you saw all these Vegas, like, I don't know, six, eight Vegas showgirls dance their way onto the stage. You had kind of the Vegas band music kind of thing going. It was fun. Jericho comes out full showman mode. He's got this flashy jacket. He's got a flashy hat. He introduces Kevin Owens, and I didn't know if he's going to come out and do the same thing. No. He's dressed the way he normally would be, and he doesn't seem all that impressed by any of this. He's kind of like looking confused by it. I just got the biggest kick out of Jericho dancing with, I mean, this was just right up Jericho's alley, and he seemed to be having a blast. He did such a good job. Jericho and Owens went to the ring. There's a TV sitting on a stand in the middle of it, like kind of almost Jericho 5000, but it wasn't like hanging like that would. But there's a TV there, and then there's a couple of like things that are covered up. One was a statue. Jericho said it cost $7,000, and Owens was baffled by the piece itself and the price tag. Then he unveiled a painting, and this was laugh out loud funny. It was the Creation of Adam painting with Jericho and Kevin Owens instead, and so neither one of them are wearing pants. And this is it reminded me also. It's not the same because I don't know that they do the finger touch thing there. I think there's a painting from Modern Family of with Cam and Mitchell, and it ended up in their daughter's room. It's a painting of them together, just some outlandish, over the top thing similar to this, and it just made me laugh. It made me think of that as well. Owens was very uncomfortable with this, and Jericho said, "Hey, it's art. You don't need it, and with art, you don't need to wear pants." So, and then he introduced a magician, Friendship the Magician. He did just a couple of quickie tricks, and Owens pointed out that his 9-year-old son got a magic set, and he can do the same thing. Jericho didn't, he ended up agreeing with Owens. He put the magician on the list and told him to do another trick and disappear. And then Owens asked where he found the magician, and Jericho admitted Craigslist. Jericho said the last gift was something he should have given to Owens last week. He said he should have made sure Goldberg didn't make it to Fastlane. And Jericho said he was going to do it this week by calling him out. And Jericho said that when Goldberg came to the ring, he was going to get. And the crowd filled in the it, and they went to a commercial. So you're left with the hook of, ooh, Goldberg coming up after the break? No. Gilbert coming up after the break. Dwayne Gill making his return. It didn't last long. I mean, he did his entrance and then was beaten up by Owens on the entrance ramp, and was left lying. And Jericho searched, but you beat him. And then Owens said that he thought the point of all this was to get the real Goldberg out there so they could beat the hell out of him. He says, I don't understand this. What is this? And that's when Jericho took that serious turn that I was telling you about, where he just was very sincere. And, hey, I may have gone too far over the top with this, but I did want to do something special. Working with you over the last year has made this one of my favorite years in WWE. I've had a lot of partners, but just, we didn't have the, I didn't have the chemistry with them that I have with you. And he guaranteed Owens that he would beat Goldberg because he would have his back, as he always did. And that's when Owens, like, all right, man. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. And he said that, hey, I love you too, buddy. And he hugged Jericho. And then he said that he felt bad because he got Jericho something too, but it was nothing compared to everything Jericho did for him. And but he said, but hey, it does come from the heart. And then Owens presented Jericho with a gift box, and Jericho opens it. And Jericho says, a new list. And he gets all excited. Yeah, the old one's getting a little beat up, whatever. And then he pulls it out of the box completely. And you can see it says the list of KO. And Jericho says, hey, why is my name on this? And that's when Owen's demeanor completely changed, and he just attacks Jericho, puts a great beating on him. Ends up they kind of went old school barbershop a little bit, kind of paying homage to that by having Owens put Jericho face first through a television. It wasn't a barbershop window, but it was a television that was set up in the ring, and the fans definitely reacted to it with the "Holy shit" chant. Owens just and they the referees who checked on Jericho put a towel over his face so you couldn't tell, all right, is he bleeding? I thought it would have been a good time to add that effect, bring a pre-blood-like substance, a towel covered in blood-like substance, and cover Jericho's head with it quickly if you can get away with it. Maybe that magician could use a little sleight of hand if you don't want to do real blood, of course. But they didn't. I guess I can't say I'm surprised. But still, this was really good. Owens just doing a really good beat down on Jericho. Man, I had so much fun with this. Between the first all cheese over the top part of it was just so much fun, and then the second part, just getting to see Kevin Owens be Kevin Owens, and Jericho just be go from over the top cheese ball into a very sincere and likable, and the fans were booing Owens. This wasn't Dolph Ziggler beating up two baby faces and getting cheered at Elimination Chamber. Owens got heat. This was really good. And so I assume, as we've been talking for a while, I think this all leads to Jericho defending his U.S. Championship against Kevin Owens at the at that WrestleMania. But Owens still has that little thing called the Universal Championship. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's where they're going with this. But yeah, awesome. Really fun stuff. Then we had, and the broadcast team did put it over. I was so happy. I'm like, good Lord, don't go to those boobs and have them start talking about, and not that it's their fault. I call them boobs, not their fault. But how many times do you see them go to these guys and coming out of a big angle, and then they just kind of talk about it for one sentence, and then just kind of switch gears, and move on to the next thing. And they didn't do that here, fortunately. They coming out of a commercial though, they did recap some highlights of it, and then we saw a shot of Jericho being stretchered into the ambulance, and the ambulance drove away, and Graves said that he didn't have anything to say because he couldn't believe they just watched that. So, Graves, the heel voice, is even he's shocked and outraged, if you will. Well done. And at some point, he had to move on with the show, so Michael Cole started recapping the way the tag title match from last week that concluded with the DQ finish because of Enzo and Cass played out. Then Enzo and Cass made their entrance and did their mic work, and he ended up with Sheamus and Cesaro coming out. I'm sorry, Enzo said Cesaro came out as a Swiss Superman, and then the next minute he was James Bond, and he also brought up the breakaway suits and how he looks like something off of Baywatch, which is all very true. Enzo told him to take his best shot because he's going to Swiss Miss because he choke a lot. And then he looked at Cass and asked if he got it. Cass said he did, and said they could toss in some marshmallows, and then he did the soft routine. And listen to this going, are they heels? Is that the idea where they're losing their cool? And because they seem to be losing their cool. Enzo's not, and I don't know if it's just bad material being written for him, if he's running out of things, but it just, I'm not feeling it with Enzo and Cass. It's unfortunate, but it seems like they're really losing momentum here. But so I'm like, well, they're going to do something in the match to make them out. I can't imagine they're going to do another heel turn when we just had one. And they didn't. They had Enzo face Cesaro, which was kind of weird because Enzo was the guy hiding behind Big Cass earlier in the night, and then acting tough. But now all of a sudden he's willing to face Cesaro. Cesaro just kind of acted like he was above him, like he just wasn't worried about the match or anything like that. He did that early on. The finish of this, you had Cesaro defeating Enzo in 240. It was he took a DDT from Enzo, but then he rolled to ringside, returned to the ring and hit a pop-up uppercut out of just for the win. It was like, oh, that's a weird way to finish this. And then after the match, Cesaro had to hold back Sheamus, who was bickering with Cass. So I guess they're just going to keep going on with these teams. I mean, there's not a lot of great teams to work with, but this is kind of odd. I don't know if one of these teams will be definitively the heels or not, if they feel like Sheamus can show some of those heelish qualities again, even though he's kind of pulled back on some of that. I don't know. This didn't do much for me, but it's okay. I kind of felt like I needed a come down moment coming out of the Jericho and Owens angle. We had the Black History Month video on Rosa Parks, and then we saw Charlotte walking backstage. Sasha Banks approaches her. Charlotte said it's nice that WWE lets her sit backstage and relive her glory days. And she said she would actually have her banned for being bad for morale because she provides a constant reminder of how easy it is to see someone fail, or fall, I should say. And Sasha said that she got Charlotte just as good as she got her, and she'll do it again anytime, any place. And Charlotte pointed to Sasha's bad knee and said she can't walk the walk, so she needed to find a spot and do it and watch her do what she can't do, win. Okay, but I'm like, God, are they really setting up for Mania with this? I'm guessing a four-way still. Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha, Nia. Still, it seems to make the most sense. There's nothing stopping them from going in a singles match, but again, there's going to be those, and we've been talking about this lately, there's going to be some matches where you'd prefer it to be a singles match, but they're going to have that goal to get more people on the show. In the eighth match of the night, it was the main event. It was Bayley defeating Charlotte to capture the Raw Women's Championship in about 17 minutes and 30 seconds. Already ran through the finish of this, kind of explained to you how that all played out. It was a really entertaining match. I wasn't feeling it going in like it didn't. You know, of course, they're going to tell you it's got that big fight feel, and it just didn't. I felt like we'd already seen quite a bit on this show, and I just didn't feel like, you know, it was like they would tell you it was coming up, but what we saw from the women, from both, I mean, you have Charlotte talking with Sasha, we saw Bayley clowning around again with Enzo and Sheamus. Yeah, there was just things about it where it was like, it really didn't make me feel like this was a showdown match. They were kind of doing other things and talking to other people. But once the match got going, it was really good. It was really well done. I did enjoy it. And, even though I still wouldn't take this approach with Bayley, I wouldn't have her win the championship now because I'd rather save it. I'd rather delay the gratification because I think it's what's best for the character and what's best for the company, really, from a business standpoint, is to hold off on it. But this may be it. I mean, I'm still wondering if it's possible we will get kind of a dusty finish where somehow next week Bayley forfeits. Here's the scenario again. Bayley, Stephanie calls her out on it, and that Sasha interfered. Bayley said, "Yeah, I had a chance to see it, and I didn't know she did that, and I'm sorry." And she hands over the championship, and that angers Sasha, and drives the wedge between them. I don't think I would follow up next week with another big beat down heel turn type of thing. Might want to let that create a little distance between the one we saw tonight with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. You might want to wait a week, but they are in Los Angeles next week. And one thing they did tell us that I must have missed as I was kind of going over my recap, we're going to get Big Show and Braun Strowman as the main event. Well, they didn't say main event, but that's the one advertised match they have so far. Is it Shaq time? Big Show has been teasing this thing with Shaq for so long, and they've talked about it like it's a match at WrestleMania. They're in L.A., where Shaquille O'Neal spent all those years playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's made me wonder, is this it? You know, are we going to finally get Shaq? And, what are they going to do here? I don't know that you're going to get Shaq. I still think we're going to get a tag match. Are you really going to have Shaq go out there and work a singles match with Big Show? Maybe they'll surprise me, but keep that in mind next week, that the possibility of Shaquille O'Neal popping up in Los Angeles if they're really serious about doing this. It's been the oddest hype I've ever seen for a match, especially so far out. Like, oh yeah, they're going to have it, and they're goofing around, and it's like, all right, they must be just trying to create some publicity and they're not serious about this. And then, no, it's confirmed, and WWE starts acting like it's going to happen. They're like, all right, weird. So we'll see what they do with that next week. But yeah, we go from Las Vegas into Los Angeles. And so a couple of big markets at WWE is going to want to put their best foot forward in. And they did so on this show, really did enjoy it. And I'm sure they'll be trying hard both in Anaheim for SmackDown with John Cena and Bray Wyatt. And then also, again, the next week in Los Angeles with Big Show, Braun Strowman. But improved effort we've seen so far this year on Raw. I was really down at how many shows felt like 3-hour marathons and just Raw fatigue, that you just couldn't wait for the damn thing to be over at times. But so far here, I would say the last 5 weeks now, I found myself enjoying. I don't know if it's just a matter of they know where they're going for Mania, and so they can build that way, and it's not all being booked on the fly. I don't know if there's been a creative shakeup that just hasn't made the news yet, but things are better. This is definitely a better show we've seen, I would say, again, over the last 5 weeks or so. But that's going to do it for me for now. Hey, if you enjoyed getting this audio review, the full-length audio review of Raw, know that this happens on Monday nights for .NET members almost every week. Once in a blue moon, I'll be up on Tuesday morning to get it up for them, but almost always coming out of the WWE Raw show. And you guys hear kind of, you hear once in a while here, I think maybe once a month on average tops. It's there every single week for the members, along with SmackDown audio reviews, NXT audio reviews, 205 Live, Lucha Underground when it's first run, the TNA television show, Ring of Honor television show. So if audio is your thing, if you're listening to this, I assume it is, we've got a ton of it available for the members. You guys just hear, you're barely scratching the surface here on the All Access side. We're giving you five shows a week, but there are so many more that you don't hear on the member side. Normally on Mondays, when we're not live on Mondays, I'm doing my Q&A audio show for the members, the .NET Weekly audio show, the Progress Wrestling Review. We had a new one of those go up with Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge discussing they're both UK-based guys, and they're discussing that promotion, so definitely check that out. But if you were interested in membership, if you don't have membership to the site yet, you're missing out. You want to jump on board. It's almost WrestleMania time. We're in WrestleMania season officially, so treat yourself. $7.50 will get you in the door for 1 month. You can save some coin at six-month level, or you can bring it all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month if you take the annual option. As always, you have any questions about anything, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or feel free to shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing that because it's annoying. But it's only, like once a show, so calm down. Don't need to get all worked up about this. Just mellow out, man. Also, if you could, take a minute. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps spread the word about this show. I will be back on Wednesday with the 205 Live audio review. Until then, everybody, thank you for listening. Take care.